unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory. This podcast is rated R and F. The F is for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff record label and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be done with Whitey, then fuck you too. Bullfire! Welcome! Bienvenue! I am not episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. MrShutUpPodcast.com, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B, a.k.a. Gaston Lucien, Big Daddy Labrador. All right, on est aujourd'hui le 7 juin, June 7th, 2028, and we're at episode 347. Not bad. Progress. And today's episode, I'll be talking about, something about reality and perception. Perception and reality. Reality and perception. Right? I have a better intro, kids. All right? Just go with it. Reality and perception and how, yeah. All right. But before we do any of that, we will start with some quotables. I will be sharing some quotables and some randomness. There's a brief hesitation when I go to press these sound effects, because sometimes I get them all mixed up. Sorry. Okay. First one on the list is, actually, I only got two. I'm just going to read them both. First one is by Ernest Hemingway. There is nothing noble in being superior to your fellow man. True nobility is being superior to your former self.
Message.
Yes, that one, I believe, I may have read this before, but whatever. It's my goddamn podcast. Last one is by Vincent O.K. Nwachukwu. And it goes, loss of sight is unfortunate, but loss of perception is a calamity. Refusing to see from others' point of view is an acute form of blindness.
Message.
Deeper than Atlantis. All right, let it marinate. I'll tell you what, these two quotables will relate to the final say. But all right, so let's do randomness.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
Okay. All right. The first one is a clip that was stuck in my head this week, and not in a bad way. The kids are saying this clip lives rent free in my mind.
Why do clowns have afros? Big lips, a big nose. Feels racist to me.
Why do clowns have afros and big lips? Shit feels racist.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
Oh, I guess I should credit the... Sorry, let me credit the content creator. I should credit the content creator. And it's Heb on the web. Heb on the web? I thought I saw Herb on the web, and I'm like, that, why are you insulting yourself? Anyways, y'all, shout out to the sister. You made me chuckle this week.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
Next one is, all right, this is some formality. Nerd shit, right? I feel the need, sometime on the social media, someone posed a question, what's your hobby? And I was thinking, I had none, and it just hit me. I am going to put vibe coding as my hobby. I'm sure it's not something that I would say out loud, but yeah, fuck it. I would share on my podcast. Vibe coding is when you use AI to write your code. And what's the difference? I guess the difference is I actually know how to program. So when I'm describing what I want, I'm coming from the perspective of a programmer. And I say one component does this, which, you know, combined with the simplicity of, yeah. Anyway, that's not the point. I say all this, well, A, to acknowledge that I had a hobby, and two, recently I made some changes to the website, just some minor changes, but I still felt the need to share with you all as a randomness. First one is the Listen Now button in the Hero. So, okay. On the website, initially was a button that used to say play now, listen now next to the subscribe button. And that's inaccurate. Now it's called it's been replaced with all episodes. So you click on it and it'll take you to the Casto site with all my recordings. The second one is the thin latest episode bar at the top was replaced with a proper card that has more breathing room, a full description, and a play episode button that takes you directly to the episode on Casto. So yeah, just a little like, just a little like, what's the word they use? Fuck, starts with a C. Cosmetics. A little bit of cosmetic, and that's it. But anyway, but what counts is it was fun. I got to remind you, for those who missed the episode where I made the changes, so that's the website, but I actually use a Python script to update. Every time I put out a new episode, it actually updates the website, adds the new link to the new episode, puts it in that new section that I modified, that I like the latest episode, plugs it in there, and then below shows a list of recent episodes. Yeah, that's all done with a Python script. And yes, I can't take credit for that one. That one was written by using AI, the gift of AI. Yeah, how much water was you wasted for that one? I'm sure a lot. I'm sure. All right, it's hard for me not to talk about AI and then get depressing about it. The cost. But you know what? That's going to be a separate episode.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
Felt the need to insert this. Today's June 7th. Yesterday was June 6th. And I completely forgot. Yesterday was D-Day. D-Day. You know, I didn't think to look it up for those of you. Everyone should know what D-Day is. The Normandy landing were the landing... Excuse me. The Normandy landings were the landing operations and associated airborne operations on June 6th, 1944. And of the Allied invasion of Normandy in Operation Overlord during the Second World War. All right, yeah. So if you saw Saving Private, I should have just said that scene at the beginning of Saving Private Ryan. Yeah, that's D-Day. Right. And the reason I'm making a big deal out of the fact that I forgot that June 6th was D-Day is because it's this thing I do. You know how some people go to bed and they have white noise playing in the background? I put on a documentary about D-Day, the Battle of the Bulge, Stalingrad, or the final days of Hitler. That, if I'm not doing that, then some shit about astronomy. Now, I don't play it all night, but it's just a way to lull me to sleep. Not because it's boring, but it's more, it occupies my brain enough to be like, to say, hey, welcome, sleep. Because it's interesting enough to keep my attention, and it's, but not interesting enough to keep me awake. That came out bad. But my point is, the reason I do that is, well, hey, to help me lull to sleep. But what's interesting about the World War II documentary, especially about these specific D-Day, Battle of the Bulge, and Stalingrad, or the final days of Hitler, it's just the fact that the tyrant was going down. It's like the beginning of the end. I think most people would say that Battle of Stalingrad was the beginning of the end for Hitler, but it's just how he... I know he was... Hitler was a really bad dude, but he was like... In a way, like Trump, but you're like hoping for, well, your hope at this point, because he's president, he's in power. All you can do is hope for he's gonna fuck up, waiting for you to make your first mistake, waiting for him to like bet more than he bite more than he could chew, bet more than he can. Like that, his winning streak's got to end at some point. And thinking about Hitler's final days when he started biting on more than he could chew, when he went from being like, wow, this huge villain to a fucking idiot. It gives me hope. It gives me hope. And yeah, sorry. My point is, I was trying to remember that you would think as frequently as I listened to these documentaries, I would have remembered, I would have instinctively remembered what June 6th was. But whatever. What reminded me of June 6th was, I don't know, like one of these, someone from the administration said something stupid. And then I'm like, oh man, I don't believe I forgot that. But whatever, it is what it is. So yeah, waiting for you to break, make your first mistake.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
Hey y'all, come look at this.
Men are killing themselves because of men, not because of women.
Millions of men who are killing themselves at four times the rate of women.
Men are killing themselves because of men, not because of women.
Men are killing themselves because they feel devalued, they feel like trash, they feel objectified for finances, they feel not good enough physically, they feel subject to all these double standards, they're not good enough, they can't possibly live up, they're garbage.
This
literally
is not true.
Being told, kill all men. You think that
this
has
not
nothing
true.
To do with it?
No.
Nothing to do with it?
No, because men and women report similar rates of being depressed, but men report far greater levels of not being willing to seek out mental health help, while women
because
are
they're
far
not
more,
taken seriously.
No, because they've been literally taught not to express their emotions, not to regulate their emotions, and not to seek help when they are suffering.
Taught by liberals who
taught
tell them they
by
don't
the
matter.
Fucking patriarchy.
All right, the clip you just heard, I cannot identify the two people speaking. Links will be in the show notes, and the reason I'm sharing it is, well, two reasons, my own and some. First one is the huge coincidence that I first hear this clip about men killing themselves. Actually, I just realized that I'm not going to play the full clip. So the link will be in the show notes. But I want to hang on to the words of men are killing themselves because of other men. And what is interesting is after I played this clip, again, I'm doom scrolling, and then later on, I come across one of the a clip of one of those alpha male courses, stupid courses, and it starts out with I guess they're in a settings in a classroom, and the person in charge is pointing at one dude and say, "What the fuck are you wearing?" And essentially, he's like going hard on him for what he's wearing, I imagine from his perspective, he's just giving some tough love because that's what some men need. But what he's actually doing is ridiculing the guy for what he's wearing. But this is my favorite part of the clip.
There's plenty of amateur companies that'll let him come in wearing that fucking shit. And by the way, you may think that I'm a dick. Dude, I promise you, if you don't have Ferraris in your driveway, big lifted ass fucking trucks, a mansion on the fucking beach, you don't have the fucking money in your bank, then stop acting like you fucking do.
Stop acting like you fucking do. I love how these alpha male bros, alpha male assholes, define masculinity by your ability to acquire material shit. A Ferrari and bank account. Like, it's funny hearing a white dude saying the equivalent of, yo, if you ain't got no bitches, you ain't shit. Now, just to tie it all together is, it's interesting that I start with a clip of two men debating, arguing against the idea that, for or against the idea that men are committing suicide because of other men. And then this other guy jumps in to push back and being like, no, it's the liberals' fault. It's women's fault. It's everyone's fault. And I guess, so that's the coincidence, because you got the alpha male bros being like, yo, we're trying to help you toughen up. But it's also the idea that what happens when a man feels he can't reach the standard of toughness required to be a man. They fall out. Fuck that. They like, The idea is usually they think is no, it'll just you just become stronger. Sometimes you don't. Sometimes you don't bend, you break. That's a reality. And I know if you're in that part of the world, you're saying, well, if you break, you didn't deserve to live. I'm thinking of a theme. That's kind of a theme in Red Rising, by the way. If you're another good book worth sci-fi book worth checking out. But the truth is, and I had to learn that the long way, is that that definition of masculinity is one definition. It's a toxic one, but it's one definition. A lot of us grow up aspiring to that image as I want to be the tough one. I want to be the leader of the pack, and I want to be the truth is, if it's not in you, it's not in you. Maybe you're supposed to be a podcaster. Look, I think where I'm going with this is know thyself. I had no idea the boys growing up who didn't follow the pack, who just did their own thing. They didn't give a fuck about styles. They didn't care about being the most popular. They didn't care. They had their thing. Sometimes they got picked on for not trying to join the tribe. But I didn't realize then that they were the leaders. They were willing to suffer the consequences just to be their own damn selves. They weren't trying to bend like everyone else. I thought I was cool. I thought I was cool, but I was following the pack. I did everything that I needed to do to not be the one who gets bullied by the other kids. But I wasn't real to myself. Getting back to the idea of, yes, I agree with the notion that men kill themselves because of other men. Men kill themselves because society told them, whoever the fuck you are, fuck it. Live up to this. Here's a poster of who you're supposed to be. Live up to that standard. And that's what's killing men. In addition to not being able to say, ouch, it hurts. Or this is causing me, it's not a physical pain, but it's a pain on the inside that I can't. I would rather feel pain, physical pain, than this shit inside because I don't know how to handle it. I haven't been given the tools to handle, you know. Suicide just feels like a better solution, like an easier solution. Again, strange coincidence. And, you know, I am thinking about that. It's a small thought. I remember when I saw this clip. It's a small thought of, it was interesting seeing the other guy defending the idea that men trying to refute the idea that men kill themselves because of other men. And to be honest, people like that, they don't give a fuck about the stats. They don't give a fuck about other men. You know what they care about? Telling women, getting women to shut up. Being the all lives matter to whatever cause women have to show up. Have to bring up International Women's Day. Well, how come I don't have International Men's Day? Stats about, well, how come I don't give a fuck? No one gives a fuck about men's suicide. Oh no, they do. They do. It's us who clowns each other for wanting to seek help. Yeah. Anyways, seeing that other guy reminded me of white people who don't really care about stats or things like that. They just care about keeping black people in their place. And you know what? And that's the thing is these men's rights movement, Manosphere, and all these toxic dudes don't have a sense of self. It's like they're miserable people and their life is dedicated to projecting that misery onto others as opposed to addressing the misery that's inside of them. I think that's the line. That's the line. Is, are you fixing the problem inside of you, or are you making the problem inside of you someone else's problem? I don't want to make my problems other people's problems. Rather die than that shit. Last point that I'm going to say is, it is very fucking childish. It's very childish to be on this. It's everyone's fault except me. type shit. Like, on one end, you're saying, look, be a man. But on the other end, you're being all bitch made. I'm truly saying, yeah. I'm purposely using the word bitch made. I'm like Corrupt said, you're more of a bitch than a bitch. We got to do better. We got to do better. So yes, I've concluded. Men kill themselves because of other men.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
Last one is a PSA from Senator Jabari Brisport. And it also ties to the idea of Happy Pride Month.
To our haters, give up. Actually, though, give up. Because if it were possible to create a world without queer people, we would have managed it by now. Throughout history, you have demonized us, ostracized us, harassed us, assaulted us, criminalized us, sterilized us, fired us, evicted us, and denied us medical care. And yet, here we are, looking fabulous. The truth is, queer people have been fighting fascism since before you learned how to dog whistle. Mm. We wear resistance like quality moisturizer. Like the iconic William Dorsey Swan, born into slavery and living under criminalized homosexuality, he pioneered the tradition of drag balls. When he and his guests were arrested during the police raids of his events, he did not suffer in silence. He fostered an equally proud tradition of advocacy for queer liberation. Nearly a century later, when police raided the Stonewall Inn, that tradition was alive and well for figures like Sylvia Rivera and Marsha P. Johnson to build on. They became instrumental leaders in the uprising that began a new dawn for LGBTQ+ people. See, for queer people, resilience is an art form that's been handed down through generations of found family and perfected over centuries. So when your political pundits and red pill influencers try to rile you up about how we must be stopped, Right. The questions you should be asking yourself are, why do they want you fighting an unwinnable war? Mm. What changes would actually improve your well-being and financial stability, and who has the power to make those changes? Your hate can harm us, but your hate cannot bring you peace. Your hate cannot win you a higher wage, affordable medical care, clean air, or lower energy bills. And above all, your hate cannot end our movement. Mm. And while you think about that, we'll continue doing what we've always done, honoring our dead, celebrating our living, stitching up each other's wounds, dancing until dawn, and then marching through the morning. We will continue the legacies of icons your best efforts haven't managed to erase. Not only Swan, Rivera, and Johnson, but also Harvey Milk, Cecilia Gentile, Ma Rainey, Brenda Howard, Miss Major Griffin Gracie, Kiyoshi Kurumiya, Pauli Murray, Bea Rustin, Henry Gerber, Mary Jones, Gladys Bentley, and so, so many more. Courageous, flawed, human. They took all the hate the world could throw at them and gave us a roadmap of resilience that we carry forward with pride. So to my queer siblings, I will see you on the dance floor, and I will see you on the streets. Happy Pride.
Message!
Bro, man. Bro, there's a lot of names in there that I need to look Google. In.
Y'all motherfuckers need to gangbang them books.
Gangbang them books. Right. All right. I am going to end today's randomness section with that message from Senator Jabari Brisport. And to my wish to my queer folks, thank you. Well, happy pride, and thank you for teaching us, or teaching people like me, how to be ourselves in a world, how to aspire, how to continue to be ourselves in a world that doesn't want us to be. Thank you for the inspiration, and thank you for being who you are. And that's it. That's it for randomness.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
And wrap this up. Let's do, excuse me. We're jumping to final say, but before we do that, we're going to take a quick break. And we are back. All right. Like I said, for today's final say, it was, I said reality and perception. And really what I was trying to say, it's a thought that just came to me last week about how reality has, how realizing that my reality has been shaped by toxic people. Initially, I was going to say imperfect people, but I'm going to use the word toxic. And it came to me while watching this, a podcast, video podcast. And I'm not going to mention the podcast just because it's kind of, it's not really relevant the podcast. Should have jumped up. But it's more something they... What happened is they were talking about Amanda Seales weighing in on the whole doctor. I mean, Bryant. Cheyenne Bryant incident. And essentially, she was on that. Leave her alone! Whatever. But that's not the point. That's not the fucking point. It was just that I caught them when they were talking about Amanda, Amanda Seales, is they used the words something similar. They generalized activists because that's how these activists are. I remember hearing those words. That's how these activists are. And then later at the end, when they were wrapping up, this one guy, one of the hosts, said something about how women do this. I forget what it was. I think he was talking about the women who are defending her and or how... I forget. But the point is he was generalizing women. And it's not what they said or did that I'm addressing. It's realizing how what he was saying was based on not just the women in his experience, but toxic women. So I guess what I'm saying is I'm agreeing with him identifying a toxic behavior. It's more the association to everyone. Now, and this is why I'm not mentioning the product, because I'm saying for myself, I've done that too. It was that moment that made me realize how most of us, our perceptions about other people sometimes are based on toxic folks. And a clear example I could use, and it hit me when I realized that I was doing that, is I used to have this one job, this one gig, and I, it's in the government, but I had this one gig, and I reported to two people. One of them was a manager, the other one, was there a manager? Or worked for, I forget, but I was in a situation where I was working on projects that required me to report to two people who happened to be women. And I used to joke about that scenario about how, okay, it was a toxic environment. At the time, I didn't see it that way, but it was a toxic environment. But I used to joke about how, well, actually, joke about it. It is true. I would work on something for one person. The other one would step in. The other manager would come in and say, hey, what are you working on? And I'm saying, or I'm working on blah, blah, blah. Well, you're going to, I'm paraphrasing, you're going to shit from that bitch. And she would purposely be in like, no, put my shit on top of the pile of the list, right? So essentially, it was the stereotype of women not getting along, being catty or whatever. And I was like their pawn. Yeah, their pawn. And I was in the middle of this beef. So they would use me to piss off the other person. I'm going to get you to work on my shit. And when she asks you about it, tell her to go fuck herself. I said so. And then the other one would show up and say, what? No, you're going to work on mine. So I was like between this tug of war, right? And I used to use that moment. Again, back in my unenlightened day, I used to use that moment to be, see, that's why these bitches can't be in the up. You know, okay? That's why these chicks, you know, am I right, fellas? You know, I would use that moment to general. I use that moment to be, this is how women are in the workplace. And then later on, I guess I remember using that conversation. I can't remember, but talking about this, but had a conversation that made me realize that, it's not because they're women. Yeah, they are women, but it's not because they're women. It's because they're toxic bitches. They're toxic human beings. And there's been scenarios where men have done childish shit, put me in the workplace where men have done childish shit, whether it's like flipping a table over instead of just articulating that I don't like this thing, whatever. But my point is, with the men, I never said that all men are like this. In this particular case, instead of just acknowledging the fact that, yo, these two people are fucking toxic, I need to get the fuck out of here. I need to get, whatever. Instead of doing that, that used to be my example of women in the workplace, which is unfair. Again, so connecting that story I just said to that podcast I was listening to, it just reminded me of how many of our opinions are based on the behavior of toxic people. Now, where things get complicated, because now I realize that, a lot of what I've been saying about Christians and Christianity, actually, I'm acknowledging that, has been based on the behavior of toxic Christians. I know for a fact, not all Christians like that. But I know enough are in there to be like, not to say that, well, actually, maybe it, there's enough for me to acknowledge the fact that I can say shit like, maybe your experience with Christianity were better than mine, but I can speak for my own experience. There was enough for it to happen for me to be like, I'm done with Christianity, or to not want to come back in there. I'm sure maybe there is a church out there where my experience will be great, but I'm not in the mood to look for it. But I guess getting back to what I'm saying is, me trying to be fair is understanding that even that as I'm deconstructing, I know enough not to criticize Christians who are actually like, you can see that, you know, this relationship is what, it's my power, it's my energy, it's what keeps me going, it's what keeps my head up, it's what keeps me in line, keeps my chakra or whatever, what's the word I'm trying to use, keeps me in the right space. Like, I get that, trust me. I may talk shit about Christians, but I do acknowledge the fact that for some folks, it does work. Now, I know I was just thinking about that. Would you apply that same logic to white people? Of course. See, that's the thing is, when this is what happens when we let white people tell us what's racism or who's racist and whatnot and whatever, right? The thing is, black people, because of slavery, the one thing we've had to do is, you couldn't get away with acknowledge the humanity of white people. That's never been a problem for black people. Okay, sure. The sociopaths, black sociopaths, they're a problem, but for the most part, unlike white people, a significant majority of white people, accepting our humanity is like a challenge for them. Like, being able to walk a mile in our shoes is like, we're like a caricature. We're like a thing. We're like an NPC. NPC, is that what it is? Like a character, background character in their lives. But for us, because that's the thing, is it's either we acknowledge their humanity, or the time when we don't acknowledge it, we probably, it's on the flip side. White people, like, look at us like animal. For us, we'll probably like put them on the pedestals. That's where the Uncle Ruckus of the world. To them, white people are like gods. They define reality for you. They're the ones you want their approval. In order for you to survive as human being, you need their approval. Yeah, sure. There's that extreme, but for the most part, we can deal with white people on a case-by-case basis, like, as a human beings. This is Bob. Bob is cool. Bob doesn't like to talk about race. End story, stops there. As opposed to, Bob is a cracker. You know what I mean? But yes, no, now getting back to the thing of my reality being shaped by toxic people. I'm thinking about the toxic white people. I guess I'm saying I don't deny the existence. I can process white people one at a time. Okay, hold on a second. I just realized I'm about to contradict myself. What I'm about to say is I can process white people at a time and dealing by case-by-case basis. But yes, for the most part, I will generalize white people and lower my expectations in a sense that sometimes I do act surprised when I hear a white person say, being able to talk about race in an intelligent way. Remember, I'm from Ottawa. A lot of white people here. A lot of white people who, like, I'm probably the first black person they've met in their lives. But yes, I will act, but I don't see that as a fault. I see it as a self-defense mechanism. Like, I need to brace for impact. Like, I gotta assume the worst and deal with the best. I don't know. Okay, where am I going with this? I gotta be careful so I'm not trying to preach or tell you what you should or should not do or what's going to change in me. But it's just more the realization of how, I guess if I just keep it to gender, because now it's just getting too complicated if I get into race. But when it comes to gender, yeah, I know for a fact that, okay, I do believe women are better than men. I do believe in that. But I'm also acknowledging that there is such a thing as toxic women out there, just like there's toxic men out there. There is a woman out there, Amanda Seales, Cheyenne Brown, right? I don't want to focus on black women. But you know what I'm just saying? I'm saying that, well, one, it's not a criticism to the podcast. I want to be clear, this is not what it's about. It's more an acknowledgement of, because I've spoken that way, and I'm just backing up and realizing that, hey, the world is bigger than that. Again, I'm not preaching throwing solution, just a quick observation about, look, man, continent, man. This is fucking continent for the podcast, all right? All right, that's it. I promised myself this wasn't going to be a long final say, and fighting the urge to over-explain some shit, but I'll fight back. Yeah, I'll say this. Okay, I'll stop there. Anyways, is there a call to action to this one? Nah, not really. Not really. But if you have some thoughts, holler at me at shutuppodcast.com. Check out the new website or email me at shutuppodcast401@gmail.com. All right. Before I wrap up the show, I want to remind you that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts, and they're protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the red, black, and the red, blue. Rouge et bleu. I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario and Télé-Québec. I also represent and hold it down for black folks who said yes when they heard Big Rube ask, are you an outcast? Are you an outcast? This episode was rated R and F. The F was for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey is a staff record label as a motherfucking crew. If you want to be done Whitey, then fuck you too. Thank you for listening. Remember, please be kind to your favorite podcast. All right? Peace. I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm black. I am your king now!